Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff here. Wanted to read to you from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, that very famous passage. There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. I was looking on Twitter yesterday, or X, now it's called X. I was looking on X yesterday, and I saw an item that came up that said Dr. David Allen was going to be nominated for the presidency of the Southern Baptist Convention that comes up in June in Indianapolis, Indiana. And at first I thought it was, this is somebody's just joking, but I did a little more research, and yes, it was true. Dr. David Allen is going to be nominated, and that is great news for conservatives in the Southern Baptist Convention. So I contacted Dr. Allen. He's been on this program on numerous times, but he was willing to come on again today. Dr. Allen is a pastor, author, theologian, professor, founder of thepreachingcoach.com, which is an online ministry dedicated to helping preachers grow in their preparation and delivery of the Word of God. Dr. Allen, welcome to the program yet again.
Well, thank you so much, Jeff. It's such a pleasure to be back with you.
Well, so there is a time. I was reading this, Dr. Allen, Ecclesiastes 3. There's an appointed time for everything. There's a time for every event under heaven. There's even a time for David Allen to be nominated for the presidency of the Southern Baptist Convention. Now, I know that that wasn't an easy decision, so tell us how you came to that place where you said, yes, I'll do this.
Well, probably 6 months or more ago, I began to hear from friends around the Southern Baptist Convention who would call me, text me, email me, or otherwise contact me and ask me if I would consider allowing my name to be placed in nomination. 6 months ago, I told them absolutely not. I said, that's just not my thing, and I am concerned about the Southern Baptist Convention. But I just didn't sense that that was the direction that I should go. But within these last 6 months, people have continued to ask me to pray about allowing my name to be placed in nomination. So I began to do that. And little by little, the Lord began to change my heart and my mind about that. And so then I consulted some people. You know, Scripture talks about their safety in the counsel of wise, many wise people. And, of course, most importantly, my wife and I had times of discussion of this in prayer. And the bottom line is, I came to conclude over the last 4 weeks that God wanted me to do that he wanted me to permit my name to be placed in nomination. And so Dr. Danny Forshee, a friend of mine of many, many years, who is a pastor in the state of Texas and also president of the Southern Baptist of Texas Convention right now, is the one who is planning to make my nomination, and that was a part of the information that was released yesterday. So in a nutshell, that's how it came about. I never dreamed that I would be doing this, but I really sense the liberty from the Lord to do it. I sense the guidance of the Lord to allow my name to be placed in nomination. And so in an effort to be obedient to Him, that's why I'm doing it. And of course, the Lord hasn't told me that I will be successful. The Lord hasn't told me I would win. He didn't tell me any of that. He just made it clear, put your name in nomination. And so that's where I am.
Amen. Amen. Being obedient. Well, I did just a Google search of the Southern Baptist Convention in the United States. How many Southern Baptists are there? Just for our listeners, there are 13.2 million. Southern Baptists in the U.S., 47,198 congregations, a weekly attendance of 3.8 million. And I thought this was interesting. So the way Google does it now, you know, things come up, questions about, you know, is the Southern Baptist Convention in decline? And when you click on that, it says it's in monumental decline over the last few years. And the numbers don't lie. That is a truism. So let me ask you this, Dr. Allen, why is the SBC, you've been a Southern Baptist for how many years?
Well, let's see. I was part of the Southern Baptist Church 9 months before I was born.
Okay.
And in fact, my background, maybe before we answer that question, I was saved in a Southern Baptist church when I was 9 years old. My first ministry assignment was in a Southern Baptist church when I was 19 years old. My children were saved and baptized in a Southern Baptist church. I pastored two Southern Baptist churches for 21 years. I've served as an interim pastor of 13 Southern Baptist churches. One of my sons was trained in an SBC seminary, and he and his wife served in Egypt as International Mission Board missionaries. In my first pastorate, our church planted six ethnic missions in the Dallas area. And then our church members went on several international mission trips for the specific purpose of evangelism and church planting. As a result, there have been more than 100 churches planted in Central America, South America, Africa, Europe, and Asia of the members of our little church, which never ran during my years as pastor of my first church, never ran more than 500 in Sunday school. And so I've served Southern Baptists in roles within the local association, state conventions, and the national convention, including 12 years as a trustee of one of our seminaries. And then I taught at a Southern Baptist seminary for 18 years. And God's given me the joy of preaching in many of our Southern Baptist churches. And I don't know how many I've been in since 1980, but I've been in many, many churches, several hundred. And the Lord has just been good. So basically, you know, I'm hardcore Southern Baptist. I will forever be grateful to the investment Southern Baptists have made in my life. And I've been a Southern Baptist there for a long time, for sure.
Well, you've seen a lot of changes, especially in the last few years. And so that statement that I pulled up on the internet, the Southern Baptist Convention is in monumental decline over the last several years.
Yes.
Why do you think that is?
Well, it is true. The numbers do not lie. We are in decline. There's no question. We are in decline numerically. The number of the church attendance, the actual number of Southern Baptists 20 years ago versus today, is there less today. So the numbers have declined there. But also, even more significantly, the numbers have declined in terms of baptisms. Baptism numbers are on a 20-year downward trajectory. And so something is wrong. Something is drastically wrong in the SBC. There can't be any question about that. It's difficult to pinpoint why that is the case, but I do think there are a number of reasons that are involved. Part of those reasons would be culturally related. The fact that we are in an ever-increasing anti-Christian culture in America plays a role with all evangelical denominations and groups, and that is just a constant battle that we fight. But I think also we have internally made some mistakes along the way. I think Chuck Kelly's book outlines, I think you may have had Chuck Kelly on
recently.
I think his book outlines some of the concerns and the mistakes perhaps that have been made since 2008 with return to what's called the Great Commission resurgence. And I think that has affected how the North American Mission Board related to the state conventions. And that negatively, I think, has impacted giving, and there's been some rancor as a result of that, a lot of disagreement. And then on top of that, we are in the midst of lots of litigation now that was virtually unheard of 20 years ago. And so there is financial pressure on the SBC. The executive committee last year in their meeting reporting on their audit from the auditing company, the auditor had placed a notation in the financial statement that the executive committee's finances were such that the current trends were, quote, unsustainable, unquote. Mm-hmm. And that is a very serious, serious matter there. And then there's, of course, some question in the convention now about the role of women in ministry, and particularly the role of a woman in the role of a pastor in a local church, how that's defined, how that's described. And so you have some differing opinions about that that have led to tension, and there's actually some theological discussion going on about that that was not an issue in the Southern Baptist Convention 10 years ago or so after the conservative resurgence had completed its run. So I think these are some of the factors that are involved. I would add one final factor, and this is the biggie as far as I'm concerned. I preach in lots of Southern Baptist churches, mostly small and medium-sized Southern Baptist churches, and virtually every pastor I've talked to about these things over the last few years has indicated to me a lack of trust because of the lack of transparency among some of our Southern Baptist Convention entities and leadership. And I think that is a serious, serious problem that may be playing a part in our decline as well.
Yeah, well, I think that that is huge. And, you know, for me, and we talked yesterday afternoon, I think that the Southern Baptist Convention, the inner workings of how all this stuff, this entity plays with that entity, that can be overwhelming to most pastors. Our brains just aren't wired for most of us, I think, to get into the minutia of all that. And the sad reality is so much of this has become political. Now, Dr. Allen, you've seen lots of Southern Baptist conventions year after year after year. When did it become so political in your view? It's almost like a microcosm of the nation. You have an establishment candidate versus a conservative candidate. We seem to have had that the last several years. When do you think it took that turn?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, it's difficult to answer that question, and the reason it is because I lived through the conservative resurgence, which began formally in 1979, and my first Southern Baptist Convention was 1982. It was my first year in pastoring my first church, and so during those years, it was heavily political because there was the debate ongoing between those conservatives versus those that were labeled moderates, or some might be called truly liberal. Most would not be liberal in a strict sense of what we think of liberalism today, but certainly not as conservative as those of us who were conservatives felt they should be, because for one issue, many denied the inerrancy of Scripture, and we felt like that was a cardinal position of biblical doctrine and what Southern Baptists have historically been about. So in those years, in the 1980s and into the 1990s, every convention was political. So then we finally, around the turn of the century, around 2000, the conservative resurgence essentially was won. But then somewhere around 2006 or 2008, in my own personal opinion, I sensed something happening. There was a change that was occurring. And then we began to seem to have the presidential election was between people one might be considered more conservative, the other might be considered a little bit more progressive, or whatever the case may be.
And Dr. Allen, let me break in on you. We're up against a break. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to Dr. David Allen, who's going to be nominated for president of the Southern Baptist Convention in June. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. We're talking to Dr. David Allen. He is the Dean of the Adrian Rogers School for Biblical Preaching at Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary. Dr. Allen has written many books, pastor, theologian, professor, and the founder of PreachingCoach.com, which is a great resource for preachers who want to improve in their preparation and delivery of sermons. Well, Dr. Allen is big news. He came out to say that he is going to allow his name to be nominated as president of the Southern Baptist Convention. The Southern Baptist Convention meets in Indianapolis, Indiana, June 11 and 12. And Dr. Allen is a strong conservative, and there are problems in the Southern Baptist Convention. And Dr. Allen, right before the break, we were saying about how it's gotten political. Obviously, it was big time political in the 70s and 80s, and then that seemed to die down as we thought. Liberalism and moderate theology was defeated, but it's never really defeated. It just kind of reshapes itself. And so, as you mentioned, 2006, 2007, 2008, right around in there, it started to get political again. You sensed that. How would you describe it today?
Well, I think today, let me answer that question. Let me start by saying it's important not only to be critical where criticism is validly due, but it's also important to think about all the good that the Southern Baptist Convention is and does. I think that's an important place to start. You know, I've been attending Southern Baptist Convention since 1982, and each year I thrill at the reports of the International Mission Board and NAM, you know, at what God is doing in His world. I think about our six Southern Baptist seminaries training young men and women to serve the Savior around the world. I was a part of that for 18 years teaching at Southwestern Seminary. Faithful pastors, I go all around preaching in churches, faithful pastors in these churches of every size, small, medium, and larger, preaching the Word, and people are being saved, lives are being changed. And I think it's important to recognize that. But nevertheless, there is a cloud that hangs over our convention. Now, I wouldn't say that we are at Noah flood stage, but the forecast is certainly shade and not sunshine. Everybody senses that there are some things that are seriously wrong in the Southern Baptist Convention, and part of this, part of the rancor that we hear today, the disagreements that we're made aware of, we seem to be a jumble of intelligence and wrongheadedness. We've got good intentions, but they're alloyed with poor discernment. We have information tainted with misinformation. We have misunderstanding that results in mistrust. And you mentioned it a moment ago about the days, when it was clear who the establishment was and who the movement was in the convention. And that was, of course, true during the conservative resurgent days. I've been saying now for many years, gone are those days when it was easy to distinguish the establishment from the movement.
Yeah.
Today, you're not sure who's the establishment, who's the movement. The Southern Baptists, some, not all, but, you know, some look at one another wondering, you know, with raised eyebrows and furtive looks, what's his agenda? You know, what's our angle?
Right.
And so this is where we are. And of course, some of the, you take that, combine that with the financial issues, with loss of membership, baptisms declining, and some of the serious issues that we are facing today and attempting to address in good faith, you know, issues like the sexual abuse issue, That's a major issue that Southern Baptists have been addressing and wrestling with in recent years. And the vulnerable and those who are survivors of sexual abuse deserve to be treated right, deserve to be protected, and deserve to have the perpetrators of sexual abuse found out, exposed, and punished to the fullest extent of the law. And then our churches need to have all of the assistance and training and help that they need in order to be able to, as much as possible, prevent the evil of sexual abuse, or actually abuse of any kind, mm-hmm. but sexual abuse particularly. And, of course, Southern Baptists are attempting to address that issue now, and rightly so. We need to address that issue. But then how we address that issue, what principles do we follow, and what practical methods do we take? There is some disagreement within the convention about that kind of thing. And then there are many other issues as well, but that's certainly a major issue that is being and should continue to be addressed and should be of concern to all of us who are Southern Baptists. So it is a combination of factors that have created this perfect storm, so to speak, as to where we are today. And, you know, the perception of the Southern Baptist Convention from people on the outside looking in is they see all of these things going on. They hear about it in the news. They see they hear about the lawsuits, you know, that are out there from different angles, but all of which are stressing the executive committee's financial position, and probably will stress it even more in the near future, depending on how some of these lawsuits will be addressed. But, you know, the Southern Baptist Convention used to be known for proclamation, and now in some circles we're known for litigation.
Yeah.
That's not good. That's not good.
No, not at all. Okay, a big vote coming up in June. It has to do with the Mike Law Amendment. And for those that don't know, Mike Law is a pastor, and he has issued forth this amendment. We voted on it at the last convention, and then we have to vote it to put it into the constitution of the SBC. It says this, that it adds this requirement for churches. Does not affirm, appoint, or employ a woman as a pastor of any kind. So anybody, any church that would want to be affiliated with the SBC and be in friendly cooperation, well, they couldn't affirm, appoint, or employ a woman as a pastor of any kind. Now, that's gotten a lot of conversation going, and there are people that are so adamantly opposed to that. We don't need that. This is just going to create, you know, undue tension or dissension or whatever it might be. What's your view on that, Dr. Allen?
Yes. Well, the proposed amendment, just for clarity's sake, the proposed amendment is made to the Constitution of the Southern Baptist Convention, Article 3, paragraph number 1. And basically, there are currently 5 statements there that the convention will only deem a church to be in friendly cooperation with the convention and sympathetic with its purposes and work, which 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and number 6, the law amendment adds a 6th statement to the 5 that are already there.
Right.
And the 6th statement is stated in a positive fashion. It says, of which affirms, appoints, or employs only men as any kind of pastor or elder as qualified by Scripture. So that's the law amendment. Now, the law amendment was formally proposed at the convention last year and received at the least an 80% vote. I was there, and the hand-raised vote was so overwhelming.
Right.
It was at least 80%. Could have been more. But to change the convention's constitution there, you have to have that vote taken 2 years consecutively. So the law amendment will be voted on again this year. If it's passed by a 2/3 majority, it will become a part of the convention's constitution there, of Article 3, Statement Number, in Paragraph 1, Statement Number 6. Mm-hmm. So I believe the law amendment is good. I'm 100% behind it. I will be voting to affirm it, because really the law amendment simply clarifies what's already stated mm-hmm. in our convention Baptist faith and message, which very clearly says that only men as qualified by scripture should serve in the role of pastors or elders of a local church. And one thing that's very clear is we now know that there are, some say, as many as 1,000 Southern Baptist churches that actually have a woman in one of those roles. And that would be contrary to, we believe, contrary to Scripture, but it's also contrary to our own doctrinal statement. And then there are some who are saying, well, yeah, but our doctrinal statement, you know, it's capable of a little bit of latitude and interpretation, and we don't have to follow it fully, or we don't have to be in lockstep agreement with it. We are simply supposed to be in majority agreement with it. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, but the problem is if you've got a woman in the role of a pastor, you've got doesn't matter what the convention doctrinal statement says at that point, though it speaks to it, but you are out of bounds doctrinally in terms of what God says about that. And so I think the law amendment is a good thing. I think it's clear. It says it affirms, appoints, the convention churches will affirm, appoint, or employ only men as any kind of a pastor or an elder. It doesn't disqualify women from serving in other roles on a church staff or other ministry leadership responsibilities. It has no negative impact on that. So I'm in favor of the law amendment. I think it's an important clarification and addition in light of where we are today.
Well, it seems from the things that I've read, it seems like the more established, the establishment, if we can use that term, is against that. They don't like the law amendment. And as you said, I mean, I was there in the hall when we voted. It was overwhelming. The messengers were for that.
Right.
So you're kind of you're on an island if you're saying, well, no, we don't need this, because it seems like everybody recognizes, hey, we do need this, because we're not enforcing what's on the books now. And we seem to be just real mushy and wishy-washy on all these things. And especially, I know lots of I've just gotten over flu A and it's still clouding my brain. It just seems like there's not any enforcement of this is who we are as a Southern Baptist Convention, and we're following the scripture, and we're not going to start new churches or partner with churches that aren't like-minded on things that are very, very clear in scripture.
Right. Let me see if I can respond to that this way. It was very clear in the Southern Baptist Convention of 2023 that the law amendment there clearly passed 80% or more. And no question about that. Now, what that tells me is grassroots Southern Baptist, mainstream Southern Baptist, at that point, were clearly in favor of the law amendment. But since that time, some, now not all, it's important that we recognize when we talk about the leadership of the convention or the establishment of the convention, the establishment within the convention, or entity heads or former presidents of the Southern Baptist Convention, they are not lockstep in agreement on the law amendment. There are some of those who are in favor of it. But there are some of those who are opposed to it. So I think that's the proper way to nuance that and to express mm-hmm. that, to be fair. It's not like the quote-unquote establishment is opposed to it, mm-hmm. although there are some in the quote-unquote establishment who are opposed to it. I'm not sure how many, because I haven't heard everybody make a statement about it one way or another, But yeah. it's obvious that some of our past seminary presidents, recent past presidents, are opposed to it. They've made that clear. But it's also obvious that some of our current seminary leadership, for example, are in favor of it. Al Mohler's made that clear. He's in favor of the amendment. So it's a divisive issue right now. I don't think it should be. I wish it were not a divisive issue because it basically affirms where we are. Now, I'll probably get in trouble saying this, but I think the vast majority of people are honestly trying to follow their conscience and their understanding on their viewpoint on this. But I have a sneaking suspicion and a gut feeling that there are some within our convention who are more closet egalitarians, but they're trying real hard not to tell us that they are. And that troubles me. And I can't prove that. I just have that gut feeling by how what some people say, the way they say what they say. I do have that concern. It's a troubling concern to me. But I think the vast majority of people are properly motivated, and they agree or disagree, and we'll have to decide at this year's convention.
Very good. Well, I don't understand from a pastor's perspective. I mean, you lay your cards on the table. I think you need to be upfront with your church. You need to be upfront with people. This is what I believe in. I'm not ashamed of this, and this is what the Scripture says. I mean, we don't understand everything concerning the Bible. I had Erwin Lutzer on the program last week, and he said, I don't understand everything of why God did what he did in the Old Testament. And I struggle with some of that, too. But I trust God, and I'm going to always be on the side of what God said and what God did. Because God doesn't make any mistakes. And so we stand strong in the Word. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to Dr. David Allen. We're talking about the Southern Baptist Convention, as his name is going to be allowed to be permitted as president of the Southern Baptist Convention in June. Don't go away.
According to a recent report, Planned Parenthood continues to rake in billions despite dwindling clients. The biggest takeaway here is that Planned Parenthood is generating vast profits, including millions in taxpayer funding. And preborn, that's you and me, are stealing their clientele, meaning the babies they're trying to kill. Preborn operates on a very slim budget as they rescue over 200 babies' lives every single day, and they receive no government funding. Preborn's network of clinics are situated in the darkest corners, competing head-to-head with the abortion giants, and they need our help now more than ever. When you donate $28 to Preborn, you will offer a free ultrasound to an expectant mother caught in crisis. Once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life, her baby's chances at life doubles. So please sponsor a precious baby's life. Your tax-deductible gift will go directly towards saving babies' lives, so be generous. You will never regret saving a baby's life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here talking to Dr. David Allen. We're talking about the Southern Baptist Convention as Danny Forshee is going to nominate Dr. Allen to be the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, and we'll vote on that in June when we gather in Indianapolis. Dr. Allen, you had mentioned that as you travel about and talk to pastors, there is a concern, serious concern, due to a lack of trust that we have in the leadership, and that lack of trust is because of a lack of transparency. If you became the president, how could you increase transparency? What kind of power does the president have to do that with these entities?
Well, it's very interesting, but really the Southern Baptist Convention president has very limited powers according to our policy. The Southern Baptist Convention president has the power to appoint what is called the Committee on Committees. Now, that's a very important committee because their role is to appoint what is called the Committee on Nominations or the Committee on Boards, which is a committee that will officially nominate names to serve as trustees on all of our boards and agencies and entities. And then those names come before the Southern Baptist Convention in the report of the Committee on Boards, from the Committee on Boards, and the convention approves those names to serve. And so basically, that's the primary role of the president. The president has very little, other power, so to speak. He might appoint a task force here or there, and presidents have done that along the way. And, of course, just by nature, the president of the Southern Baptist Convention gets the bully pulpit, so to speak.
Right.
He has the opportunity, he gets invited to speak in different venues and churches around the convention, and then he preaches the president's sermon at the Southern Baptist Convention. So from that angle, he has influence from what we might call the bully pulpit. But really, politically, or from the standpoint of the polity of the SBC, beyond committee on boards, he doesn't have a great deal of influence. But this is exactly why, one of the main reasons why I allowed my name to be placed in nomination, because I have stated in the press release, I think stated this, but I have stated this in my own press release, which is available if you go to my own website or go to my Twitter, or X as it's called now, click on that, and you'll get a two-page statement. It'll link to a two-page statement where I make this statement: if I'm elected president of the Southern Baptist Convention, I pledge to appoint Southern Baptists to the Committee on Committees, who will assure me and all Southern Baptists they will only nominate people in places of service who will pledge to work for truth, trust, and transparency within their respective committees, trustee boards, and entities. Now, that's my pledge to Southern Baptists. That's what I will do if I'm elected. I will be very careful that I will appoint to the Committee on Committees only Southern Baptists who will assure me and who will assure all Southern Baptists that they will only nominate people in places of service who will pledge to work for truth, trust, and transparency within their respective boards. That's my game plan. That's my platform. That's my commitment. That is my pledge to Southern Baptist.
Amen. That's a good platform and a good pledge. Well, I think in these terms, Dr. Allen, because as I mentioned, most pastors, you're talking about, we vote on committee on boards, all those terms start to just kind of jumble up in people's heads. But if you think about the Southern Baptist Convention as a church, and you have members of the church, just like you have, churches that are affiliated with the Southern Baptist Convention. We're participating churches. If the churches get upset and people want to know, hey, what about this? What about that? What about the other? A lack of transparency is the last thing in the world you want to do. Just like a pastor, if he's getting people upset about this or that, what are we doing here? What are we doing there? You want to be upfront about things, unless you're doing something wrong, and then that needs to be exposed. But I guess I'm just kind of naive. I think everybody is wanting the same thing. We want to glorify God. We want to reach people for Christ. We want to lift up Jesus and the cross and the Word of God. Not all people want to do that, and there are tares among the wheat, obviously, and we just in the church, we don't want to let those people have any kind of position of authority. It seems like that's harder to govern in the broader entity of the Southern Baptist Convention. Would you think that's a, yeah, that's kind of a rudimentary way to understand it, but do you think that's a fair way for pastors to kind of get a grasp on the SBC?
Yes, I do. I think that is a fair way. You know, in my first year of my first pastorate back in 1982, a wise deacon once told me, "Pastor, what people are not up on, they are down on. Good communication is the key to minimizing criticism. As the old saying goes among Baptists, trust the Lord and tell the people."
Mm-hmm.
You know, I occasionally learn the hard way the wisdom of those words. Now, leadership can't tell everything, nor should they.
Mm-hmm.
But good leaders resist maneuvering in a cloak and dagger fashion. Good leaders resist the urge to put their thumb on the scale when they know they have the power and the influence to do so. You see, all of our denominational entities and agencies exist to serve local churches. Southern Baptists are not a top-down organization like many denominations, you know, Catholics, Episcopalians, Lutherans, Presbyterians, even Methodists. These are all denominationally, from a polity standpoint, top-down organizations, top-down denominations. That is not the way Southern Baptists are organized. Every local church in the Southern Baptist Convention is autonomous. Denominational leaders are denominational entities and agencies exist to serve the local churches.
Right.
Denominational leaders are accountable to Southern Baptists, primarily through the boards of trustees of those entities. And so one of the things you'll hear me say in the future, I'll be putting this in a document, but really no Southern Baptist should be branded as barbarian or blasphemous because he or she presumes to question or dares to express an honest opinion about issues among us.
Right.
On the other hand, Southern Baptist Convention leaders should not be pestered to death with a constant critical spirit of unverified accusations. So if we understand that truth always trumps denominational loyalty, we would never assume that adherence to the truth and denominational loyalty are mutually exclusive. No, they can go together. But it is critical that denominational leaders and boards of those denominational entities must be transparent as much as possible. It is obvious that that's not happening in some cases today, and that is what has created a lot of the loss of trust among pastors, grassroots pastors, mainstream pastors of small, medium size, and even some large churches are deeply concerned.
I think we lost Dr. Allen. Hopefully he will call back. Who knows what happened there? Well, we've been talking to Dr. David Allen, and it is a big deal to allow your name to be submitted to be the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. Doesn't mean you're going to win. Just means you're going to allow yourself to be nominated, and people will vote on you. And it is sad that it has gotten so political. You know, you would hope in a just like in a church that if people are being, you know, let's say you had a situation where you're voting on deacons or something like that, and you can only have one and two guys are going up against this. Not that hopefully churches don't have it this way, but it's two good candidates. Think about it in running for president of the United States. Well, we used to have, years gone by, two quality people, honest people, people with integrity, and they would be running for president and, you know, let the best man win, so to speak. But they weren't mudslinging. They weren't trying to tear the other one down. They were just presenting, here's my vision for the country. Here's my vision for the SBC, so to speak, if we put it back in the SBC camp. And this is what I want to do. And so, you know, if they vote for the other guy, then I'm supporting the other guy. And but we both want the same thing. We want what's best for the entity. We want what's best for the SBC. We want what's best for America. And we've lost that. And so there are, those that have an agenda that's different. And it's very, very disconcerting. So, Dr. Allen, you're back?
I'm back.
Okay. We lost you there for a minute.
I don't know what happened. My apologies.
No, no problem at all. Let me ask you this question. We just have a few minutes left. But Mike Stone, when he ran for president, a good and godly man, great pastor in Blackshear, Georgia, which is not a huge place, but he has done such a tremendous work there. He got smeared. He got lied about. It was awful, the things that were done to him. And people did that on purpose, knowing that I'm lying about you, I'm smearing you. And even to this day, the SBC, whoever has these videotapes that would exonerate him, they won't release them. So when you and your wife talked about allowing your name to be submitted, surely that came up, that what are they going to say about you?
Well, yes, you know, everybody, if you're trying to do the right thing, you're going to have people that differ with you. You're going to have some people that are actually an enemy. They just think you are totally wrong, totally bad, shouldn't be in the role you're in or whatever. And yes, there are those. I think there are a few, but there are those who would clearly I think say things about me that are untrue, or they may be motivated because they think they know something is true, but in reality I would know that it is false. And so you know, yes, you have to deal with that. My wife and I talked about that, we prayed about that, we wrestled with that. To place yourself in this position of being nominated for the president is to put a target on your back. But you know, in reality, the moment you become a Christian, there's a target on your back, and right, Satan is after you anyway. And so God knows my heart. My motives are pure, and my desire is for the good of the convention. And I want to contribute in that way a little bit toward what the Southern Baptist Convention has done for me and blessed me through the years. That's my goal. If some people shoot at me for some things they don't like or disagree with, so be it. But I'm prepared. I'm prepared to stand on my own two feet, on my own reputation and character. I know some people may not agree with every decision I've made in the past, but that's true of everybody.
Right.
And so I'm willing to take those arrows if that's what it needs to be, trusting the Lord through the process.
Amen. We have about another minute or so. How can people best pray for you as you prepare for June?
Well, pray for wisdom as I answer questions that people have, or as I make statements about what I believe about issues that we're currently discussing, that I would have wisdom to respond in a godly way, in a biblical way. And basically pray that the will of God be done. I know that all four of us who are currently candidates for the presidency, we want what's best for the convention. We mm-hmm. want the will of God to be done. And I would just say pray that way. If the Lord's will, whichever one of us, it is the will of the Lord to be president, may that happen, and may the rest of us rejoice.
Amen. Amen. That's a good word. Well, thank you, Dr. Allen, and I'll be praying for you. I appreciate you so much, and thank you for your commitment to the Lord and to His Word, and to especially to training pastors, because we welcome the training, and we want to get better as we handle the Word of God. Well, thank you for listening today to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. It's a joy to be able to come to you every day and share hopefully things that will help you grow in your relationship with Jesus and help you be aware of what's going on. The Southern Baptist Convention, you may not be Southern Baptist, and that's fine, but the Southern Baptist Convention makes a difference in the United States and in the world as it sends missionaries out throughout the world. So it's an important entity, and we need to be praying that it would stay true to the Word. So pray for David Allen and for the other guys that God would be glorified. Go out this weekend, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.